All right, greetings everyone. This is Chris Dixon and welcome back to the Tunnel Vision Podcast. Hope you all are doing good and well. And on this particular episode, I'm going to be talking about my experience going through the 22 tunnels of Set and the Kalipoff, which is also going to lead me to talk about my experience that I went through last year. That was very challenging and rough around the edges. If you hear crickets, that's because I'm outside doing a little walk. Also just getting over a small little summer cold. So if you hear me cough from time to time, that's why. But I'm doing much better, thankfully. Just wanted to give me a little night walk in. But I figured it would be a good time for me to build with you all on my particular experiences, so to speak. But before I go into my experience, since this is, you know, like I said in the first episode, this is new beginnings for me. New podcasts. I first want to go into my background, pretty much on how I got into magic and the occult overall. I just want to give everybody a detailed description of my background. But pretty much, I grew up in church, raised Baptist, and was a devout Christian, very devoted to my beliefs and faith. Then as I got older, I got into non-denominationalism pretty much as I got into my late teens. But in spite of my devoted beliefs, I always had a lot of questions. I always wanted to know where Christianity came from, you know, as a religion. I also wanted to know the origins of the Bible, and pretty much get a thorough understanding of where all of it came from. Alongside of that, just understanding, you know, why I went through a lot of the traumatic experiences that I went through coming up. Just wanted to know the answers to, you know, why I suffered the way that I did. And, you know, growing up, you know, losing my father at only 8 years old, him making his transition when I was that age, you know, it did take a huge turn on me. Had a very big impact on me. And from that point on, you know, I kind of just lived life, you know, kind of boxed in. You know, I didn't really talk to a lot of people coming up. I didn't I just didn't really didn't really care. You know what I'm saying? I had a whole lot of questions. Like, why did that, you know, happen? But, you know, in spite of that, you know, I stayed devoted to my beliefs, you know, because that's the type of household I was raised in, you know, a very devout Christian household, so to speak. But as I got older, as I hit my early 20s, that is where I began to develop a much more independent way of thinking, you know, started to actually question a lot of the things that I was raised on, and pretty much embarked on my own journey. Started to learn about, you know, other religions and spiritual systems of the world. Started to get into meditation, you know, learning about meditation and yoga, the chakra system, and things of that nature. In spite of me still being, you know, a Christian at that time in my early 20s, I was still starting to open up my mind and my consciousness to new information. So, you know, after high school graduation, of course that happened, you know, at 18, you know, going into my early 20s. Instead of going off to college, I decided to stay home and go to community college. And being at home, you know, going to school, you know, working part-time, me and my mom at the time was caretaking for my grandmother, who made a transition at 103. This was, I want to say 2019. That is when she made her transition. I want to say 2019, if I can remember. But before that, my grandmother, we started to caretake for her. I started that in high school. That's when the caretaking began. She just couldn't, wasn't able to live on her own, so we moved her into our house so that we can pretty much just watch over her, you know, full time and be her caretaker, so to speak. So that was one of the main reasons why I stayed at home instead of going directly off to college, you know. So I stayed at home, helped out with the caretaking and worked part time and went to school. And even during this time, I'm still learning about meditation, yoga, you know, getting into it, you know, gradually, you know. But pretty much I stayed kind of to myself, you know, for the most part. I socialized here and there, you know, with people, but for the most part, I stayed to myself mostly. Fast forward a little bit later, you know, I ended up completing community college, and that's where I decided to transfer away to college. It wasn't far. It was just 45 minutes up the road, and the irony of it is this was a Christian college. That's 45 minutes up the road from where I stay, my hometown. And this was, I want to say I was 23 years old, 22, going on 23, somewhere around there is when I transferred. And before I transferred, that's when we decided to put my grandmother in a nursing home because we wasn't able to continue the caretaking. It had gotten too stressful on us, me and my mom. So we pretty much had to get, you know, the proper, you know, help that we needed. So before I made my transfer away to college, you know, we put my grandmother in a home, and in spite of her being in a home, we still visit her day in and day out. You know, we had sitters come in, sit with her throughout the day and even in the late evening on into the night, just to pretty much monitor her, you know, monitor the nurses and things of that nature. So we didn't just put her in there and, you know, just leave her hanging. You know, we still stayed by her side. And even though I was away at college, you know, I still came home on the weekends to visit my grandmother and even help out, you know, at the nursing home, you know, sit with her on the weekends and, you know, things like that. But before I transferred, I really didn't even want to go away to college. You know, I was wanting to stay at home and, you know, pretty much just continue to live in my little box. You know, I didn't want to get out, meet new people or anything like that. So even it was a struggle for me to go away to college because, you know, that's how mostly I live my life, you know, sheltered, not wanting to get out into the world and explore and learn about myself. But, you know, I stepped out on confidence, you know, went away to college, was uncomfortable at first, even when I got there, but got situated in and it went from there. Over the course of time, I started to meet people and I started to come out of my shell, so to speak. But while I was there, you know, when I first got there, I sought the opportunity to study more into Christianity and to learn about its origins and the Bible and things of that nature. And that is where I started to learn more about the other books to the Bible that were not included in the Protestant Bible, also known as the Apocrypha. I started to learn about, you know, other translations of the Bible that did have those particular books as a part of their, of the particular canon, so to speak. And I sought the opportunity to just study and learn as much as I can. Not only from, you know, Bible teachers and professors, you know, having conversations with them, but I was also just, you know, learning on my own, on YouTube. At that time, I was getting into Afrocentric studies, you know, learning more about Black history and how African and indigenous cultures, you know, impacted the three Abrahamic religions of Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and learning about how the ancient Egyptians, you know, influenced Christianity, Judaism and Islam, and learning about the Egyptian texts, the Egyptian Book of the Dead, learning about the Sumerian texts, learning about Gnosticism, and getting into Christian mysticism, so to speak. So at that time, that's pretty much what I was learning about and the knowledge I was cultivating at that time. But fast forward a little bit further, I started to get more into metaphysics and the occult. And that's when I started to stumble across great teachers like Bobby Hemmett, Brother Panic, C. Freeman L., Dr. Phil Valentine. You know, these particular teachers of metaphysics and the occult, I started to get more into their lectures on YouTube. And I would listen to them throughout my day. You know, even when I come home on the weekends, I was listening to them and learning about, you know, magic, metaphysics, the occult, so forth. I never did, you know, get in, you know, reveal that I was into this information while I was at, you know, this college, you know, because of being a Christian college and everything like that. Of course, any form of magic and witchcraft was pretty much against the rules. So any type of symbols, whether it be a pentagram, an ankh, anything that didn't line up with the Christian faith was considered a violation of the school's rules. So I didn't really get into the information I was into. I never did expose anybody to what I was learning about during that time. So I pretty much just stayed kind of low key, you know, in my studies. But the fast forward, my final year of college starts to come around. And I started to purchase books. I got a Bible that had the Apocrypha in it. I got that at Goodwill. Pretty much I would read and study the Apocrypha while I wasn't in class. You know, I would read, you know, these Apocrypha texts. And of course, I would eventually start to purchase books from Amazon, you know, on metaphysics and the occult and things of that nature. And I pretty much started to begin during my last year of college. You know, I started to begin my book odyssey, or started to develop me a bookshelf in my mom's house. In spite of her home being a Christian home and no other doctrine other than the Christian faith was allowed, I still started to, you know, sneak books in. You know, I was hungry for knowledge, and I wasn't really thinking about the rules at that point, because I was serious about this information and learning. So I started to develop me a bookshelf in my room. She never really did pay any attention to it. Up until after I graduated and got home. But my last year of college, I completed it. Moved back home with my mom at 25. And thankfully, you know, I found a job in my field of study, you know, after my graduation. And I began work. But 25 is where I actually began to practice magic. I didn't practice while I was at college, in college. I pretty much waited until I graduated to pretty much embark on my magical journey. And of course, you know, when you first start out, you're pretty much in the dabbling stage. You know, you're pretty much just dabbling around to see what works for you and what you resonate with. So during my dabbling stages, of course, you know, I'm still reading books. You know, I'm at Barnes & Noble buying books. I'm at Barnes & Noble every Friday after work, on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday, just reading different books. Studying the Kabbalah, studying Gnosticism and Christian mysticism, and getting into different spiritual systems and just learning, you know. Reading the Kabbalion and the Hermetic philosophy and things of that nature. You know, I was just embracing all the knowledge and information that I had incorporated onto my journey. And around that time, that's where I was fully transitioning out of Christianity. You know, even when I was away in college, I would still come home on the weekends and go to church. On Sunday, I would still go to church on Sunday, even when I was in college. But I noticed as I continued to go further into this information, I started to feel very uncomfortable in church on Sunday. Like, I would feel a pain in my stomach, you know, during the sermon, because, you know, I was expanding in consciousness. And I was coming out of, you know, the religious programming and indoctrination. And it was very hard for me to continue to sit in church. But the main reason why I still went, because it was somewhat like of a requirement. You know, even when I went home and had to move back in, it was still a requirement for me to be in church on Sunday. And that's why I was so painful, you know. But I fought through it, and eventually I learned about this metaphysical church named Unity, the Unity Church. Charles and Myrtle Fillmore's church. I know a lot of you who are into metaphysics would probably know about this particular church. But this was a church, you know, that I decided to start going to. I learned about them through my pop's best friend and his wife, who I consider, you know, my auntie and my uncle to this day because of how close they are to me. But they've been into the Unity Church for many, many years, and they put me on to it because I never really knew about where they went to church at or anything of that nature. And ironically, you know, we started to have these conversations. I started to talk to them about my experiences and how I was transitioning into metaphysics and everything like that. And it's like they met me where I was at. And, you know, they understood, was very proud. And my auntie put me on to this church named Unity. And ironically speaking, you know, my hometown where I stay at, there's a Unity Church here, and then there's a Unity Church down in Norcross, and even in Atlanta. But I decided to start going to this church on Sunday. I would tell my mom I'm going to another church that was traditional, but I would go to this church. And just so that I can have, you know, a connection, you know, to where my journey was headed. So I will go to this church, and I enjoyed it, you know, hearing the metaphysical message and, you know, learning about the metaphysics of the Bible. You know, it was a good experience. And at that time, it was needed at that time. But going a little bit further, you know, 25 years old, moved back home. I'm dealing a lot with sigil magic, you know, candle magic, working with the Necronomicon, working with the Goetia, as well as working with the 72 angels of the Shemha Mepharash, which corresponds to the Goetia, or the 72 Damians of Solomon, or Solomonic magic, let's put it that way. So I'm getting into Solomonic magic, Necronomicon, working with them, doing a lot of sigil magic, candle magic. So these were the first systems of magic that I got into very heavily. I just got deep into it. Doing a lot of rituals, and I started to get into the Kabbalah. I started to learn more, of course, about the Kabbalah. Of course, I'm already studying the Kabbalah at that time, but then I started to learn more about the Kabbalah, or the dark side of the tree of, or the Kabbalistic tree. So I'm studying a little bit, you know, going into the Kabbalah, learning about Lilith, Samael, Beelzebub, Astaroth, Belial, etc. These particular forces of the Kabbalah. But I never did initiate myself into the system just yet. You know, I started to study, came across more occult teachers who were left-hand path teachers who would teach and build on this particular system. So learning from them, 2 years go by, I'm 27 years old. That is when I finally initiated myself into the Kabbalah. That is when my Kabbalistic journey began. So 25 years old up until now, I'm 32. So total, I've been practicing magic for 8 years. But I didn't get into the Kabbalah until I was 2 years into my practice. Kind of early to deal with that system, but I was ready. I was ready to face myself and to embark deeper on this path of knowledge itself. So the book I was using at that time was Kabbalistic Meditations by Asenath Mason. It was a little pamphlet type of book that goes into a direct detail and breakdown of the Kabbalah and what it is. Goes through the shells and the particular spirits of each shell, associated with each shell, and pretty much an invocation to Lilith, so to speak. And Lilith is a Sumerian goddess. She is commonly associated with Jewish mysticism, but she actually predates anything involving Judaism. She goes back to Samaria. And she's also known as Adam's first wife in the Bible. But Lilith is the queen of the night side. She is the primary one that leads the initiate into the Kalipoth, or the void, so to speak. So I did my invocation to Lilith. And at that time, I wasn't, you know, my clairaudience or what you would call psychic abilities were not online. So I wasn't able to hear, you know, Lilith or any other particular spirit communicate things to me, so I would know what to expect. But, you know, I went on into the Kalipoth, you know, 2 feet in. You know, I jumped off the diving board 2 feet in and stepped out on faith. And things got very challenging. So this is where it started to come to the surface that I was practicing the occult. And this is where my bookshelf, my mom came across my bookshelf that I had been building in her house. We pretty much clashed heads, you know, got into arguments, and it was very uncomfortable. It was very uncomfortable for me and her, being in one house together. So long story short, at that time as well, you know, my grandmother had became very sick. She ended up having a stroke and losing her ability to speak and eat. So she had to have a feeding tube put inside of her so that she can have a way to get food. But fast forward a little bit further, she ended up coming down with sepsis, and pretty much she made her transition. Like I said, I'm gonna say it's 2019. And me and my grandmother were very close. She watched over me when I was a child. After school, she would pick me up. She would cook evening supper for me. She would watch me every summer. If I didn't go to a camp or something, you know, I was at my grandmother's house pretty much the whole summer. I would bring my game, my PlayStation over there, play video games, you know, go outside and things of that nature. But me and my grandmother were very close, and in spite of her going through what she was going through, you know, I remained strong. The night she made her transition, I just so happened to be the one in the nursing home, because the nursing home had called my mom and pretty much said that, you know, she's not likely to make it through the night. So my mom had me go sit with her until she got ready to come out. And while I was there, you know, my grandmother made a transition, pretty much in my arms. I was sitting next to the bed. I didn't cry, you know. I was in pain, but, you know, I held my ground. You know, the nurse came in, you know, checked the pulse and everything, and she was gone. So my mom, my sister came, and other family members came, and, you know, it was a very, very rough time that night and on into the week as we prepare for her funeral. But she did live to see her 103rd birthday. You know, we had her a party, you know, even though she wasn't able to partake in it. You know, family members came, friends, they would all go down to her room and visit, you know, leave flowers and things of that nature. So she lived to be 103 years old. So after we put her to rest, you know, a few months down the line, Thanksgiving comes around. And before Thanksgiving, I ended up having a breakdown moment where all of my built up sadness and grief concerning my grandmother came out that I was just holding in. And that's when it dawned upon me that this was a result of me going into the Kalipoff. And these are the things that were coming out of my subconscious, because that's what the Kalipoff deals with, the subconscious mind, the darkness. So the subconscious, my subconscious, these are the things that were coming out at that time. And going further, you know, I'm coming to terms with the grief. Didn't really eat a lot on Thanksgiving. I didn't feel like eating at all. It's like my body was purging a lot of unwanted energy, and the low vibrational emotions were coming out. So I didn't really eat a whole lot during that time, you know. But things started to come back around, you know, weeks later. And this is where things got a little bit more challenging. And this is where things, like I said, started to come to the surface that I was practicing magic. So mom discovered my books, ended up throwing them away. And I ended up having to move. It was time for me to move and get my own spot. So pretty much after 2 years of working, I took what I had saved up and I had to put it towards an apartment. So ended up moving out, picking up a second job. And keep in mind, I didn't have hardly anything in my bank account. You know, I was pretty much broke moving out of my mom's house. And of course, you know, being mad and frustrated that my books got tossed for, you know, violating the household rules. So pretty much I had to start over, you know. I had to start from scratch. I had to rebuild my bookshelf, my book collection. I moved into my apartment with just a mattress until I moved everything out of my mom's house, my bed and everything, into my apartment. But fast forward a little bit further, you know, I ended up getting my apartment set up. Thankfully, you know, and of course I had roommates, my apartment. I had to share space with two other people. And thankfully, a good friend of mine at the time, one of my childhood friends at the time, along with his high school buddy. So we knew each other, you know, I moved in. They helped me actually get in. So I didn't have to worry about moving in with someone who I didn't know. But thankfully it worked out that way. And, you know, just been rebuilding since then, you know, rebuilt pretty well since then. But at that time, got situated in, started to develop my independency, of course, started to rebuild my book collection, and just pretty much get myself reestablished on my own, so to speak. And this is after that, this is where COVID hits. So this is 2020, going into 2020. And this is when COVID hits, the world shuts down, everybody goes into quarantine, refund checks hit. So thankfully that helped financially wise. Of course, you know, working in a second job. So I was able to get my money back up, you know, pretty sturdy. And, you know, from that point out, you know, I've been maintaining it on my own, you know, quite well. in spite of the journey. It's been the struggles that I've endured. Things have been, yes, they've been challenging, but it's been kind of interesting, you know, at how certain things have played out on my journey. Different close friendships that I've known, had since childhood, have ended as a result of this particular path that I decided to take. You know, when you take this path, when you practice magic, the occult, your friendships and relationships are going to change drastically. People are going to see you differently. Some people are not going to want to be around you anymore, regardless of how long they've known you. So it's very uncomfortable. You know, it's a very uncomfortable path, especially when you deal with the left hand path of the occult. So going through those particular things, you know, during COVID, and even coming out of COVID, you know, things were still challenging. Fast forward a little bit further through COVID, started to get more deeper into my practice, you know, of course, being on my own. You know, thankfully I had the freedom, you know, to practice my magic without anybody, you know, hovering over my shoulder, you know, taking books from me or anything of that nature. So I was able to get myself fully established, and I was able to focus more deeply on my practice and the knowledge and the information. Fast forward a little bit forward, going into 2022, that is where I began to start my podcast, began teaching and making content. My first podcast, I was dropping information, you know, every week, every other week, you know, I was going in, you know, week after week after week, and then I kind of slowed it down a little bit, you know, started to pace myself. But, you know, I'm teaching the different forms of magic that I was working with, and teaching, you know, others how to do it themselves, and pretty much just building with the collective. And for 2 years, I dropped 2 years of content, and this is where 2024 comes in, and this is where I have my experience. So going into 2024, I want to say it was around February, end of February, going into March. But before this happened, I want to say around 2021, going into 2022, that's where I started to become more, my psychic abilities started to come online, clairaudience and clairvoyance primarily. So at that time, I was really getting very good at divination, getting very good at tarot cards, working with the pendulum and the pendulum board, and my senses pretty much open up. At that point, different deities started to come through. I started to have dreams about certain deities. The goddess Kali came through, and of course I'm already going through the Kalipoff at this time too. So Lilith came through, Hecate came through, later on Freya came through, and it's pretty much like my higher self opened me up to the spirit realm. My spirit guides came through, And it's like the spirit realm started to make themselves known to me directly and personally. And it was a very interesting experience at that time. And it was kind of, I won't say it was frightening, but it was something that I had to get psychologically used to. Interfacing with deities and spirits. It's just something I had to get situated with. But over the course of time, I got used to it. But the fast forward, gaining more experience working with deities, working with Kali, I started to get adapt to the challenges that, you know, they bring to the path. Because working with Kali was a very intense experience as well. But thankfully, you know, I got through those experiences, you know, gained more confidence on my journey. And going forward, I go into 2024. I started to learn, get more deeper into the Kalipov, you know, my studies, and thankfully, you know, being able to converse with spirits and interface with them, you know, they was telling me, you know, you're getting ready to make your transition out of the tunnels of Set, and things started to get very, very intense on a mental level. Things got very intense at work. Like I said, being in management, being a supervisor, you know, my job got very, very intense. Dealing with, you know, employees that didn't want to work. Pretty much going through all of that. So that was taking a toll on my mental health at that time. And then, of course, I'm dealing with, you know, the Kalipov coming out of it as well. So I started to notice a few weeks before this experience happened, I would have moments in my meditation where the deities of the Kalipov, you know, primarily Set, Amun from the Egyptian pantheon, because the Egyptian pantheon eventually over the course of time merged in with the Kalipov, and they became one system. So that's why the Kalipov is also associated with the Egyptian pantheon as well. And that's actually where the Kabbalah actually started, was with the Egyptians. But that's a lesson for another day. But long story short, weeks started to go by, and these spirits are breaking me down, because that's what the Kalipov deals with, the full breakdown of the ego / the false self. And eventually, when you make your completion of the tunnels, you're going to go through a certain big breakdown experience. Like I said before, even when you initiate into it, things are going to get tough. But this experience was the most challenging, I would say, throughout the whole experience. But long story short, the work stress that was on me blended in with the breakdown moments of my meditations, you know, things I would experience in meditation, these deities just breaking me down to the point to where I just, like I gave up, right, at that point. I submitted, you know, my journey. I said, look, I'm not going to be fully broken in this experience. So I'm putting it all down, putting magic down, and whatever experience that y'all are trying to show me, I'm going to embrace it. And that's what happened. And I ended up having a very intense out-of-body experience at this time. And it felt like I was literally like making my transition. Like I thought I wasn't gonna make it through last year. That's how traumatic and intense it was. But this experience had a lot of insights revealed to me during this experience. It's like I went to another realm, and I was receiving channels and downloads from the other side concerning my journey, different things that I needed to accept about my journey and myself, being tested on my knowledge, that all of the knowledge that I have gained up until thus far, if I was really serious about it, was I really ready to go to the next level, you know, as an occultist? So it's like I was also put on trial by the gods and the goddesses, as well as my spirit guides. So the experience, you know, I was face to face with them, you know, they was sitting at this table, and like I'm sitting in the chair in front of them, and they're asking me a series of questions. They're like yes or no questions. And immediately, you know, based on the questions I was asked, you know, do I take my journey serious? Yes. You know what I'm saying? I was answering them in my vision. Quickly, you know. So long story short, the experience is over. But I am, at this point, I am completely broken, like mentally and emotionally broken down. Ended up having to get counseling / therapy. You know, I found some good therapists to talk to just so that they can help me process the experience I went through, and pretty much just have somebody to talk to as I pretty much rebuild and heal from this experience. Because at that time, not only was I going through a lot of emotional, I guess you can say, grief and depression, but I was also dealing with a lot of frustration, you know, at that time, because I had felt like betrayed. Like, how come my spirit guides and spirits and deities I was working with, how and why did they let this happen? But they told me, look, you just got to be patient. You know, at that time I was still trying to still be connected to the occult, and it just didn't feel right. You know, I wasn't able to pick up on any insight during my tarot card readings. Like, they wouldn't reveal anything to me in any reading. They didn't answer any questions that I would ask via pendulum. My pendulum wouldn't even swing. So at that moment, you know, my magical path was put on hold. Like I said, I thought it was over completely. But they told me, look, just be patient, you know, and let things play out. So 2024, you know, I'm fighting these thoughts off, dealing with depression, you know, very deeply. But thankfully, you know, with enough counseling, things started to get much better as I just focused more on the healing process, and of course, going through the whole pushback from family members, you know, telling me, they told me so, you know, you was on the wrong path anyway, you was wasting your time studying all of that information, the devil had you deceived, and you know, pretty much all of that. So had to deal with all of that criteria, and pretty much I just grilled the steak up and ate it for what it was. So that was 2024 in a nutshell. You know, just to be honest, it was a horrible year, but thankfully I made it through it, you know, alive. I stayed on course, I stayed in alignment with my higher self and my spirit team. And I told myself last year, I said, Chris, if this is your purpose, if magic and the occult is your purpose, and this particular path is going to lead you to your destiny, it will come back around if it's supposed to. Because a lot of people, you know, if they were to experience what I experienced, which a lot of people have, they ended up hanging it up. Never went back to the occult again. But that wasn't my case. Thankfully, things came back around. Spirit guides started to come through, back through again. Continuing to help me rebuild and get my journey back on track, you know. My interest in reading and studying the occult again came back. Started to come across more like-minded people. And it's just been a rebuilding moment from this experience. But when I tell you the Kalipoth is very intense, it's very shattering to the ego, you know. That's what you're going to experience when you go through the tunnels of Set, when you go through the Kalipothic shells. You're going to be broken down to your very last compound, and that's exactly what happened. I learned a lot, made a lot of corrections to mistakes that I made on my journey, you know. As I work with spirits, you know, correcting those mistakes, and pretty much learning how to become a much more efficient magician and practitioner. And I look at this experience last year as a stepping stone for me to go to the next level on my journey. But thankfully I made it through it, you know. I definitely gained a lot more deeper humility, you know, not only for my journey and the occult as a whole, but these spirits and these deities, you know, they're not anything to play with, you know. Not that I wasn't playing with them, I wasn't playing around with them at all, but they kicked things up a notch. And they really showed me what they are capable of doing. So pretty much my relationship with spirits, you know, got a little bit, you know, more closer. It's still a struggle at times, you know, because I want to do things my way sometimes, but they want to keep me in alignment with my higher self and what my higher self really wants for my destiny and my journey. So it's at the end of the day, I end up cooperating. Because the experience also taught me the importance of staying in alignment with what I'm supposed to be staying in alignment with. But I didn't let this experience fully destroy me. I didn't let it, you know, drive me, you know, off the deep end to where I fully lost myself. I just took a step back. I said, okay, let me get in alignment with this process so I can make it through this the way I'm supposed to. And that's what happened, thankfully. So here we are, you know, a new beginning. New insights, new revelations, and just taking it from here. That's all I wanted to share concerning this particular episode. Just wanted to pretty much recap on what I experienced and just pretty much just give everybody a new background of, give everybody new insights on my particular background and how I started my journey as I began this new platform. Of course, I'm going to be pacing myself with this. You know, I'm not going to be rushing anything. You know, I'm just going to go on and teach what my spirit team leads for me to talk about and teach. And that's how we're going to play it out. But I hope that you all enjoyed my story / testimony. Hope that you all are doing good and well on y'all's journey. Wherever you're at, whatever time zone you're in, if you're listening to this in the daytime or the night, I hope that you all enjoyed it. And I will talk to you all on the next episode. Peace.